Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see everybody here tonight. Before I launch away, I'd like to say three words to all of you. Enough is enough. That is the title of our lesson this evening. Now, most of the time when I heard that growing up as a kid, it was a warning coupled with a threat. But that's not the way I intend it tonight at all. As a matter of fact, I don't intend it anywhere near remotely that fashion. I don't get to make threats, only God does, unless it's to my own children. But I want to talk about part of how we as God's people live in this life. I want for us to go to the Old Testament for a bit. I want for us to go to Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments, all the way back there. And we're going to start with one of the commandments that God gave to Israel a long time ago. We're actually going to start with the last of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 10. And it's found for us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. When we think of the Ten Commandments, we group them up into the first four and the last six. I've spoken how my personal preference is the first three, the fourth, and then the last six. But the last one, we typically tend to think of as "you shall not covet." But I want to read the text in full. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." This is a commandment I think we could do more of hearing in our society today. One of the things that any of us notice, if we sit back and we step back and we analyze what is 21st century American culture all about, I would have to say, and I have to admit, and this is just a basic truth that I think we can all understand, that when it comes to understanding America as a people, we have to put greed right at the top of national qualities, don't we? Let's be honest. This is true. Let's look at the behaviors of some of the people whom we have valued as a society. Who harnessed electricity? Invented the light bulb? Thomas A. Edison. In history, that's how it's written down, but that's incorrect. One of his aides did it, and he stole his aide's work and put his name on the patent. When it comes to alternating current, Tesla, Nikola Tesla, who by far had more inventions than Edison, personally. We have as sort of titans of American history, men who, by their own greed, exploited the work of others. Our nation was built on one of the, especially in its early days, was built on one of the ultimate forms of greed and exploitation, slavery, to begin with. We also have, as manifestations of American pop culture, although sometimes they're done as cautionary tales, unfortunately, they often reflect the values of society at the time. Does anyone remember the movie Wall Street from the 1980s? Wall Street. Does anyone remember the slogan of the film? Michael Douglas? "Greed is good." A few years ago, they made a sequel, Wall Street. They called it "Money Never Sleeps." Greed is an intrinsic part of, it seems, America's history. We always want more. We crave fame. We crave fortune. We crave celebrity. How many reality TV competition shows are there airing during any given year that promise prizes and fame to the people who win? I mean, just starting off of, you know, just the top of my head, you know, we watch some of them because they can be somewhat some entertaining sometimes. Although very often my favorite episodes of these shows are the audition, because sometimes when people fail, it's they fail so badly, it's spectacularly awesome. But we've got America's Got Talent. Promises you a headline show in Vegas. There's The Voice with a record contract and all the other singing competitions. But probably one of the ultimate manifestations of the obsession that we have with fame and fortune, or in the words of Indiana Jones, fortune and glory, kid, is American Idol. Just think of the title of that show. American Idol. I think that's indicative, don't you? But we as a people are consumed with this desire for more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And I think that's beyond questioning at this point. But I want to talk about something as well as another example of something that's happened in our society that sort of contributes to feeding this appetite for more than what we have at the moment. There's a phenomenon that's occurring, especially amongst the younger generation, that's directly tied to things that have happened with the advent of smartphones and the recent developments of the internet over the last 15 years, in particular social media. I have said at the time that, you know, there's a lot of great things that Facebook and other social media networks can do for us. I myself make use of them. It's one of the primary ways in which I communicate with our brothers and sisters in the Philippines that I know, that I've been with a lot of the time, so there can be good things that can be done. However, there is also potential for great evil, and this is one of the evils that accompanies it. This is just part of the nature of the beast. You know, we as human beings, we like to present the picture that we are perfect, don't we? This is the problem with the Pharisees. This is Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites, you're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you're nice and you look pretty, but inside you're full of rottenness and dead men's bones. Now, you know, a lot of us as human beings, and I'm not saying the people in this room necessarily, but I'm saying a lot of us as human beings, what we want is we want other people to like us. We want other people to think well of us. And so what we do is we present this image of perfection that, oh, look at how wonderful my life is, and look at how wonderful I am, and look at all these great things that I'm doing. Now, what happens, especially with our younger people who are more vulnerable emotionally, psychologically, is that you present this picture that people have of perfection within their lives, and then you have younger people with access to social media, sometimes for the first time in their lives, and they're thumbing through someone else's Instagram, or they're looking at someone else's Facebook post, or they're seeing the snaps, and by the way, that's Snapchat for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about. They're seeing someone else's snaps and looking at the videos or the pictures that in this person's story, and so all of a sudden they get the picture that this person's life is like this. And it's this image of perfection, of all of these wonderful things. By the way, a new term has cropped up over the past few years, social media influencer. Have you guys heard that every now and then? What that basically is a person who wants to be paid to represent things but isn't actually getting it done. But these social media influencers, what they often do is they'll post pictures with things that sometimes they have been paid to promote. They're basically advertisement people. And sometimes what some people will do is they will post pictures with things that don't belong to them, pretending that they belong to them. Like, I'm not kidding about this. There are people who post pictures of places. That's just a picture of a place, but they're acting like they're there. But that's not really, they didn't take that picture. They're just posting in the picture that someone else took of this place. And they're pretending that they're there, but they're not really there. Does anybody know who Little Bow Wow is? Rapper / actor. Okay, Derek's nodding. All right. Young guy, probably in his 20s now. He recently posted a picture, well, a couple years ago, I think, he posted a picture of a private jet saying that he's flying to New York from his home in LA. Someone who happens to follow him on Instagram saw him in the plane that the guy who followed him was riding in coach. So he posts this picture of this private jet saying, "I'm going to fly to New York." But he's not in that private jet, but he gives the impression he is. And he's actually sitting in coach class with everybody else. And so this guy calls him out on Instagram for it. Like, "Yo, dude, where's the private plane? You're sitting right next to me." But we human beings do this because we, as a people, desire for other people to view us as better. So young people, and not just young people, this happens to others as well, but it's particularly damaging with young psyches because they haven't experienced life the way others have. They don't know what reality, sometimes, no offense, reality is. As we get this image that other people's life is like this and it's not fair, why isn't mine like that? Oh, I wish I could have all of these things. And when you combine that with a young, impressionable psyche, it leads to things like clinical depression and anger and frustration, and it does all kinds of horrible damage. And one of the things that mental health professionals are starting to notice is the dramatic spike in depression amongst those from the ages of 13 to 21. And a lot of it has been tied to social media usage. Because we get the snapshots of other people's lives and we think that's what reality is like, but that's not. But because we think that that's what their life is like, we want that. Because we covet what we see. We want more. And when we're constantly looking at the more that other people have, we forget a few things about ourselves. I think it's interesting that God viewed this to be such an important aspect of his people that he included it in the very first things that he spoke to Israel. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." Let's go to Philippians 4 now. To a text that we actually read this morning, but I want to bring it back for tonight because it applies again. And instead of emphasizing the verses that we emphasized this morning about giving and receiving and the reward that God gives based on the work that we do, I want to back up and read where we actually started this morning and emphasize the first section that we didn't really spend a whole lot of time on. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." What Paul does here, in providing his own example, which is again emulating Christ, as he had said so many other places and so many other things that he has written, says, look, I'm glad that you guys are supporting me again, especially as he is, as best as we can tell, under house arrest in Rome at the time, living from a rented apartment. Although he does have one of the other things that we have learned throughout history is that he has once again gained access to his family wealth at this time, which is incredibly significant. But for a time there, Paul was cut off from his family wealth. He was cut off from the family fortune. He had been disowned. So he had to make his own way in the world. So when Paul says, I know how to be brought low, he knows what it's like to lose everything. But he also knows what it's like to have the world at your fingertips financially. Because he had that. And he said, "This I've learned what the secret is." Now, here's the part where I stop and I say, well, gee, Paul, why don't you tell us what that is? Because he says, I've learned the secret of how to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. Now, that's the charge for us. By the way, that's what this whole you shall not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's male servant or female. That's what that commandment is really all about. It's about being content with what you have and understanding that enough is actually enough and you don't really need more. When you've got enough, by the way, that's what that phrase content means. It doesn't mean you're necessarily happy with it, because after all, there are things in his life that Paul was certainly unhappy with. He was unhappy with whatever this thorn in the flesh was that he asked for Jesus to take away three times. He was clearly unhappy with that. He was clearly unhappy with the work of the party of the circumcision, how frustrated he was with him his entire life, it seems. I mean, from the moment they set foot in Antioch to the moment that he died, they were a thorn in his flesh. They may not be the thorn in his flesh that he talks about in 2 Corinthians, but they were certainly a thorn in his flesh. By no stretch of the imagination. They were the frustrations that he felt with congregations like the churches in Galatia or the church in Corinth. And there's the anger that you can feel behind some of his words. He wasn't always happy with everything, but what that word content means is satisfied in the sense that I can accept this. I can deal with whatever situation I find myself in without wanting more. Because it's okay. It's going to be okay. And like I said, well, Paul, why don't you tell us? So we don't have to try and figure it out ourselves and go through all the horrible experiences you've been through. The thing is, he's done that. He actually did that in Philippians. Not only did he do it in Philippians, he did it in that chapter. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to back up a few verses. And we're going to start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, Paul, does that mean you rejoice when other people are flogging you to the point of death? Yes. Does that mean you rejoice when you're on the road and you're hungry and you don't know where your next meal is coming from? Yes. Does that mean rejoice when you see some rich schmuck get out of a punishment that he deserves because he bribed his way out of court? Yes. Does that mean rejoice when you see people twisting the gospel and leading others astray with their false words? Yes, but not in that. Because what does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. You know, what is at the bottom of this and all of these problems? This, what Paul is saying here, we're gonna continue reading in just a bit, but we're gonna stop here for just a second. I answered this question a little earlier tonight, but I'm gonna ask it again. What is it that we covet? It's a very good question. It's a fundamental question. What is it that we covet? We covet what we see. Why is it that we want this other person's life that we see on Instagram? Maybe it's because we're spending too much time on Instagram. I'm just saying, maybe. Maybe it's because we're paying too much attention to what other people are doing instead of paying attention to what we should be doing. When Paul says rejoice, he says rejoice in the Lord? And this is a fundamental question of perspective. Because if the source of my joy, the source of my contentment, the source of my peace that I have is Jesus, isn't he better than some person on Instagram that I've never met? Isn't he better than some influencer who tries to get free things? By the way, there was an ice cream vendor who posted something on Facebook, of all things, that, and he held up a sign. He said, influencers pay double. Whenever someone comes to him wanting to get ice cream, and said, by the way, I'm a social media influencer, he said, an ice cream's normally $3. For you, it's $6. Because I don't give out freebies to people like you. I've had enough of it. And that's one thing they try and get free things to promote those things for these brands. Again, because greed. But if we're thinking about Jesus all of the time, hyperbolically, because we can't think about him all the time, we got to sleep sometime, right? But if Jesus occupies the majority of our thoughts, we're not going to be concerned with what other people are thinking or doing so much. Now, are we? Because we're going to be concerned, hopefully, with what we are doing and how we measure up to him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, meaning the Lord is right. Dude, Jesus is right next to you. Whether you see him or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not, Jesus is walking by your side. So act like it. And think like it. Talk like that. Because Jesus is right next to you. So, if Jesus is right next to me, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us the secret starts off with perspective. First of all, this other stuff, this is not going to make us happy. Okay? Someone else's life on Instagram, first of all, is probably a lie anyway. But even if it's true, it's not going to make us happy. It's not going to give us peace. It's not going to give us joy. What gives us all of those things is God and our life being found in him. And since we don't need to worry about that stuff, we just give the things that we do care about, that we should care about, we surrender them to God. And what Paul also says, did you catch what he says in verse 6? That what we should have when we're letting our requests be made known to God is thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means that even when you're asking God for the things that you think you need, or sometimes even the things that you want, and it's okay to do that too, at the same time as you're asking for those things, be grateful for what you've got. Now, we have that song in our songbook, right? Count Your Blessings. What if we actually stopped to do that? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. What if we actually stopped, got out a pencil and a piece of paper, and we started writing down the things that God has blessed us with? Try it sometimes. You'll need more paper than you think. And life won't start to look as dismal as it might look tonight. That's the secret. And we get peace. Because no longer will we be so focused on what other people have, but we'll be grateful for what God has given. And we will be challenged by the things that we have yet to do. And that's actually what Paul says, again, starting in verse 8, right before he goes to verse 10. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If we're thinking about those things, the chances are we're going to be doing those things as well. Because out of our heart comes all the things that we do, all the things that we engage in, the lifestyle we lead starts with the heart. The Hebrew terminology, our mind, we would say. Our mindset, what's important to us, what we desire, what our values are. "So what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," he says, "practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Because enough is enough. And I would dare say that all of us in this room have enough. I know I do. As much as times as I might want more, I do have enough. I have been to places where they do not have enough. Brother Derek has been to places where they do not have enough. Many people in this room have been to places where they do not have enough. So I stop, and I'm grateful, because enough is enough. While we list our blessings, enumerating them, as the song says, one by one, we start with the greatest blessing of all: freedom from sin and its consequences. That's the greatest blessing that God has given us. If you're here tonight and you'd like to lay hold of that, we have water prepared for your death to this world and your life to the next. Or if there's any prayer at all, any way we can serve you, anything we can do for you, please come forward and let us know what that might be.